welcome back, and thank you for joining us today for E-Commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. And today we are joined by a special guest. We have Landon Sheffs here, the Strategic Partnerships Manager at Accessibe. And he's going to be talking about his work over at Accessibe and our partnership with Bridgeline, HawkSearch, and a bunch of our other products here. So I'm going to hand it over to you guys.
So much, Victoria.
Great. Thank you, Victoria. Landon, great to see you, my partner.
Yes, great to see you, Ari. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm really excited about our partnership. We're going to bring tons of value to the Bridgeline customer base. For everybody, I am a certified Accessibe wizard. I've gone through the training, as have many of the other people, including our top executives, because our customers need to have better ADA on their websites so that they can generate more revenue and make sure that they're not excluding any part of their audience. So we're going to learn a lot about that today and how Accessibe and Landon help us get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome. So Landon, can we start off? Tell us just a little bit about Accessibe and a little bit about Accessibe, who your customers are and why it's important.
Yeah, so Accessibe, we are a full suite of products and solutions for ADA compliance and web accessibility. Our sort of bread and butter offering is a tool we call the Access Widget. That's our AI-based solution that actually goes onto a website using contextual understanding, will make adjustments to that site. But we also have a wide variety of manual services, such as making sure PDFs or other files, downloadable files, are remediated, adding closed captioning for anybody who's working with, you know, the government, making sure that they have the proper audits in place, a wide variety of those services. A little bit of background on how we started is really in 2018, the ADA started applying more and more to websites as they're considered now places of public accommodation. So, you know, it's first really kicked off in other markets outside of the US where the government was enforcing this. And, you know, our founders realized, hey, this is a problem in the market. Websites aren't really accessible for the most part. Most people don't know how to do it on their own. So, you know, they created this solution that's able to do a lot of the heavy lifting for business owners who maybe aren't accessibility experts in their own part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just in case anyone doesn't know, ADA, American Disabilities Act.
Yes.
We take that for granted when we're talking here. So what are some of the issues that people have with websites, and how exactly does Accessibe address those issues?
Yeah, so we like to break down web accessibility into two main categories. The first part being the front end adjustments. So, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the fact that they have to have sufficient contrast ratios, right? Like you wouldn't want a light blue font on top of a white background, right? That's going to be very difficult for people with minor visual impairments to read. You don't want certain colors to be the only colors available in your text because maybe somebody's colorblind. There's also things, you know, if you have something that's flickering on a site or moving, a banner, a GIF, whatever the case is, some people call them GIFs. I'm still on the fence about what you're supposed to call them. But those could actually be dangerous for somebody who has epilepsy, right? So what Accessibe is going to do on the front end is provide each user with the chance to make their individual changes that they want to make by putting on a low contrast mode that's going to adjust all of the contrast of the site, right? They could put on a seizure safe profile. It's going to stop anything that's flickering, dull down the colors a little bit, overall make it a much safer browsing experience for somebody with epilepsy. There's, I think, about 60 individual adjustments, you know, to allow that user to create their most personalized user experience. And then a handful of what we call disability profiles, which were created alongside the community of people with disabilities and alongside the main guidelines, the WCAG, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, which all the laws fall around as well. In order to, you know, have it sort of be just one click, it takes care of everything you need for that user and really creates a good user experience for, you know, ultimately the person visiting the website. The other main...
Wow. I'm sorry. Seizure safe.
Yes.
It just blows my mind. It never occurred to me that a flickering screen could do that and it could be unsafe.
Yeah, I actually, when I first started, I was looking up, when there are any major cases where that was sort of involved. And there's actually one of my favorite shows as a child was Dragon Ball Z. And there was an episode where there was a lot of, flickering, almost strobe light effects. And it did cause sort of mass seizures across many children. And, they had to edit the episode, of course, and they faced some legal recourse. And, similarly, people add a lot of animation to websites or, exciting videos, whatever the case may be. But that can, in fact, be dangerous to a user. So, yeah, something I never considered prior to working here. But now I realize the importance of it. I mentioned the sort of first category, the front-end adjustments. The back-end adjustments is where, it really becomes complicated for anybody who's not a designer, for anybody who's not a developer, really, or an ADA expert. And that's to ensure that a site is accessible for somebody who's blind and uses a screen reader, which is a piece of a software that's downloaded into their operating system and reads out the content of the website to the user, to the blind user. Additionally, anybody who's using their keyboard or other assistive technologies to navigate a site, there's a lot of little intricate details that you need to make sure are all accurate and precise in order to make sure that somebody could actually utilize their technology or their keyboard to navigate the site. And that's where, again, using the contextual understanding, our AI can pick up and say, this is a button, right? This is a Facebook logo. We can now describe that to the user so that they have as much context as possible. Or, which is sort of, I like to describe it as accessibility 101, an alt tag, right? Something that's describing what's happening in an image. This is even something I recommend with, your social posts, right? After you have the actual caption, is putting something that says alt text equals and then describing what's happening in the image or any words that are in the image. Because that's how somebody who's blind would be digesting that content. So, one main example we always like to use is, if you have a banner on your e-commerce site that says 30% off, shop now, and then it has, a picture of, a couch in front of a floral background, whatever the case is, if you don't have that description in place, your site may be inaccessible. You may be losing out on business because of that. Or, that's a great call to action. Right, you want users to know about that, but additionally, you're at a legal risk when it comes to lawsuits, which I'm sure we'll be talking about a bit more as well. What Accessibe would do is actually come in, and if you haven't already created an alt tag or that image description, it would be creating that for you and doing that heavy lifting.
Wow! So the accessibility widget is actually able to understand if there's an image, if there's a button, what the text is on the screen, and does it advise the web developer how to change the underlying code, or does it automatically change the website?
Yeah, great question. We do have certain tools, our scanning tool, that will give you some hints on, where it'll give you examples of maybe inaccessible code and where there are some failures, and then examples of where you've done a great job with accessibility as well. The Access widget, our AI-based solution, is actually going in and making the remediations or those changes to the code on the user's session. So if a blind user joins the site, they'll be greeted with a invitation to turn on blind user mode. And that's going to be a simple keystroke, and that will be read out using their screen reader. Once they've turned that on, they'll hear a bell through their speaker. And now our tool will actually do that remediation itself, and the developer doesn't need to come in and make those changes necessarily.
Wow. So accessibility widget in real time, as a person is viewing the site, is re-rendering that site to improve its accessibility depending on that person's settings?
Exactly. Yes.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So, obviously e-commerce, there's, you want to include as many people as possible when you're selling. And Is that the primary audience, or is it everything? Who buys Accessibee?
So I've seen, you know, the widest range of clients. You know, I've been with the company about 2.5 years now when we opened our New York office. At that time, it happened to be that dentists were the ones who were primarily being targeted for about 3 months. Huh. Yeah, and we were just calling dental practices, and you know, those were the people who were reaching out to us as well. We've seen it be real estate agents. We've seen it really go through the gambit of markets. I've even seen people who only sell firearms to the military. Their website was inaccessible, and they got hit with demand letters or litigation. That being said, yeah, over the past year and a half, maybe 2 years now, the primary focus with the litigation has been to people who conduct a majority of their business online, primarily anybody with an e-commerce store. So I think the latest number we have is about 63% of all the litigation. This was by the by accessibility.com, who sort of keeps track of all of these lawsuits and demand letters, said it was all aimed towards e-commerce businesses.
Really? Well, that's where the money is, right? It is insane. So Bridgeline's got thousands of customers. Every single one of them is at risk if they don't have Accessibee or have done something on the ADA side of a trolling lawyer coming at them. And even Bridgeline has been approached by lawyers before we were, now we use Accessibee, but before then, we had a lawyer buy one share of stock in the company, one share. The lawyer himself happened to, I don't think he was blind, but was, you know, whatever, visually impaired. And claimed that he couldn't read our stock price and sent us a demand letter and said we weren't ADA compliant. So we called, this was in California, we called a lawyer in California and asked him to take a look at it. And he knew the guy. He was like, oh yeah, that guy's suing everybody. I finally got you. Okay, well, he's basically formulaic. He's going to want $7,500 and you know, you can, don't fight with him. Just, it's cheaper to just pay him off and all this stuff. It blew my mind that this guy claims to be a shareholder and claims to have, he actually claimed to have a blind client that was the shareholder, but the client was him and the shareholder was him and so forth. It's a shame that that's happening, but I think that every company is in danger of that. So what happens if somebody is using Accessibee and this guy just randomly decides to call him anyways?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, this law was created with good intentions, right? It was to make sure that we could stop discrimination against people with disabilities. That being said, there's, of course, many cases out there where somebody needs to make a doctor's appointment and they simply can't online due to the fact that the site's inaccessible. And, you know, they're filing a complaint mm-hmm. and all they want is access to the site, you know, which they completely deserve. That being said, there have been trends of some lawyers and that have sort of teamed up with specific users to send out demand letters or litigation in mass, and that's something that you know, we've recognized, of course, and something that we provide to all Access Widget users is a litigation support package. This is for anybody, the local mom and pop shop down the street, our huge enterprise clients. It's not a different level of support. It's included in all Access Widget packages. But the way that that looks mm-hmm. is we would put our legal team and our research and development team in contact with your website team or your legal team, right, whoever is facing that demand letter, and provide you with some resources to help you get out of this situation. The first part we want to do is make sure that we're being proactive about this, because if you could heed off these demand letters or litigation by making sure your site's accessible, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah. It's like having the Sloman shield on your website. Yes. You see that the accessibility is there if you're a lawyer, and it's like, ah, these guys are already covered. I'll go and shake some.
Right. There's stuff. So many other sites that don't have anything on their website that, you know, they want to focus where it might be easiest and where it truly is inaccessible. That being said, sometimes people are sort of shooting from the hip and just, you know, going after the first website they come across. And, you know, when that is the case, and you're put in touch with our litigation support team, you'll be provided with a number of resources, some of which are sort of standardized your score for your website using various different third-party auditing tools, Google Lighthouse, Wave. You know, these are some of the third-party tools that we test with. In addition to that, we provide everybody with an accessibility statement. This is a requirement. This is something that states how your site is accessible, what changes have been made to the site, to the browser, how it's compatible with different assistive technologies, also how to report any accessibility issues if any were to be found. We also send you monthly compliance audits to make sure that you could have something that could be downloaded and shared as proof of ongoing efforts to maintain that compliance. Lastly, as every claim is different, right? It could be somebody who's using X type of assistive technology and, you know, they couldn't utilize your menu because it had a drop-down with, you know, some sub-menus within there. And, you know, that's something that could become very complicated. Or a pop-up, for example, on the site isn't accessible and they can't actually get to the, you know, the root of the website from there. What we'd be doing is, you know, breaking down in technical terms why that claim is false and showing somebody utilizing that assistive technology using that website successfully while accessibility is installed on there. We've had a great track record with this, especially with e-commerce. We just had 4 new case studies where we've been able to drop settlements. And, you know, sometimes people are asking, like you mentioned, Ari, $7,000 for people who have a lot more traffic to their site. And unfortunately, in this industry, visibility sort of is vulnerability. You know, sometimes they're asking for $25,000 for, you know, we've seen upwards of $100,000. We want to make sure that we could avoid that entirely because, you know, we know calling your lawyer alone can cost, you know, a lot of money right there. Yeah. So we try to heat off as much of that as possible. And our track record's pretty impressive.
Yeah. You know, it's on the one hand, you know, we need to have sites that are accessible to everyone. And there should be some lawsuits that are happening from time to time to keep us all in check. And, you know, and even though these lawyers are going completely overboard, at least they're providing that level of a service that they're kind of keeping everybody up to another level. But on the smaller companies, do they have the resources to be able to implement accessibility? You know, what do you need to be able to do within your own team?
So the old way of going about web accessibility was usually you'd have to hire out a third, especially if you're not a corporation with a huge internal development team, you'd have to hire out web accessibility experts. Usually that is a lawyer whose expertise is within the Americans with Disabilities Act, specifically Title III, which is regarding places of public accommodation. A web developer who specializes in web accessibility and ADA compliance, and, you know, a number of other developers to actually go in and do the work that, you know, that auditing has found is inaccessible. Now, you know, there are some plugins on the market that will make sure the contrast is okay or things like that. We like to say that's a step in the right direction. But it sometimes will provide users with a false sense of security that, hey, we're doing everything we can, when in fact you need something that's going to cover both the front end, which is the contrast, the text, the seizure safe side, but also the back end, making sure that the site is as compatible with assistive technologies as possible. And you bring up a great point with, you know, the fact that this law has been created or, you know, modified. The story behind it is that in 2018, it's actually Domino's Pizza got sued, and you know, somebody was trying to order a pizza, was unable to do so on the website. It went up and up through the court system, and you know, the Department of Justice officially affirmed, saying, look, websites are considered places of public accommodation, therefore they must also comply with Title III of the ADA. And that's when the boom of lawsuits really started. We see it increase year over year. You know, the real threat is the demand letters. Typically, people decide to settle. So that's where we want to, you know, cut that off entirely. But it's always important to remember that the main thing is these are your clients. You want to do the right thing by them. You want to make sure all of them, no matter their ability, have access to your site and to utilize your services, buy your products, become loyal clients of your brand.
So who, so do you have companies that are customers who have used a competitor, a competitive system, or they hired a bunch of ADA experts and worked on theirs and said, okay, you know what, this is too expensive or too error prone. Right. We have to move to accessibility. What are the reasons that someone move if they've already tried really
so
hard?
So we have even, you know, we work sometimes with web developers directly who are sort of experts in ADA compliance and web accessibility. And, you know, it gets to a point, especially with e-commerce or dynamic sites, people who are adding a lot of content to their sites on an ongoing basis, that every time they want to add, you know, their spring summer collection, whatever the case may be, they have to send that over back to their ADA experts, have them remediate all of the different products that are going into that collection, and then they can go ahead and actually add that to their website. With Accessibe, we're scanning the website every 24 hours. That's what we say. It's actually a lot more frequent than that. But that's to make sure that we can maintain that accessibility on an ongoing basis and that you're never really have that gap that you're prone to, you know, litigation or that a user can't actually access the site itself. So I'd say the main reason is price, you know, just having to hire that many people adds up very quickly. The amount of time it takes, our solution, once installed, takes about 5 minutes for the front-end adjustments to start working on the site and up to 48 hours before the back-end is remediated. That's, again, making sure it's accessible for blind users and users that are motor impaired. And then lastly, the maintenance is really the biggest key thing as to why people make the switch from more manual accessibility services, whether that's in-house or through a third party, to a more automated solution like Accessibe and the Access widget.
So what's it cost to use Accessibe?
Our cost based off two separate items. So number one, if you don't have too much traffic coming to your site, you have below 100,000 monthly visits, we just base it off of the amount of pages on your site. If you're a boutique and you have below 1,000 pages, our pricing starts at $49 a month or $490 per year if you decide to go annually, which I believe that is below a cost to call your lawyer for a quick consultation.
Exactly. Like that's like 5 minutes with a lawyer or maybe 15 minutes a month of your web developer.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, something we hear pretty frequently. If your site is, you know, above 1,000 pages, you just have a lot of items, you know, our pricing, it goes up from there. It's very transparent on our website. It goes to right under $1,500 per year or $150 per month. If your site is much higher traffic, you're doing a great job with marketing, you're a well-known brand, and you do drive in, you know, a million visitors a month, 100,000 visitors a month, we recommend that you reach out to us, you know, because of the fact that you are so much more prone to any sort of litigation. We have custom pricing for our enterprise level clients, to make sure that they have everything that's needed and, you know, all of the added resources that go with larger sites, high traffic sites.
Who are some of the companies that are using Accessibe?
So on the e-commerce side, you know, ones that recently came on board that we love, Tiffany.com, right? So, ooh. Yes, that's something we're very excited about. We do work with a lot of fashion brands as well. Girlfriend.com is a big, you know, women's wear brand that's been up and coming and has recently seen a lot of traffic to their sites due to, I think, a lot of influencer marketing, things of that nature, a brand that we're very proud to have. We also work with a lot of financial institutions, government institutions even. The one that I always like to refer to, one that we work with very closely, is the Indiana State website, in.gov. And the reasoning behind that is because when you work with the government, it's very bureaucratic. They have to look through every single aspect of your technology, your privacy, your security, to make sure that it is aligned with, you know, what they're allowed to actually add to their website. And it's also a place where people go to file their disability checks. So they're making sure that this is something that is usable for all of their users, especially ones with disabilities.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's where all the disabled people are going to go. Yep, that's exactly. Amazing. Yeah. I feel like Tiffany.com, it's probably a litigation magnet. I mean, who doesn't want to sue Tiffany.com?
Yeah. A lot of traffic to those sites, and you know, it's also about the fact that, you know, we work with a community outreach manager here who is a lawyer by trade, and he's paraplegic. He uses an assistive technology to navigate a site. One of the stories he told us when we were first training was, you know, he's married with children, and he was saying that on Valentine's Day, he was going to buy his wife a nice gift online. He got all the way to adding the product to his shopping cart, got to filling out his address and everything like that, was it unable to actually go through the payment part. So he did all that work, and it is physically tiring for him to go through the site. The technology is hard to use as is. The website didn't have all the tools to make it as easy as possible. And, you know, from that point on, not only was he probably never going to shop with that company again, but they lost out on, you know, thousands of dollars of revenue right there with that purchase alone. So wanting to make sure that your marketing efforts are never going to waste by driving in leads that are unable to actually use your services or buy your products.
As a red-blooded American, yeah. I think that everything's in America.
Right.
But what about Canada, Europe, other places? Is Sesame used anywhere else? Is it relevant?
No, great question. Yes, this is something that... So back to what I mentioned earlier is the WCAG. That's the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. It's about 1,000 pages of very technical jargon. I've looked through it. It's not something I can completely understand, but the overall gist of it is how websites should look and feel for people with varying disabilities. Right now, the golden global legal accepted standard is called the WCAG 2.1 at the AA level. You probably don't need to know that, but it's important for me to at least mention, as that is where you want to be to make sure that you're protecting yourself across all different governing bodies. So in Europe, there are certain laws where it's actually the government who cracks down upon it as opposed to individuals suing each other. Same in Canada. There's the ACA, the Accessible Canadian Act. There's the AODA, which is a provincial-based act in Ontario. They're always introducing new bills and laws within Canada as well. So where in America, we sort of love to sue each other for every possible thing. In other countries, it's, you know, coming down from the government, and crazy enough, people follow the rules there pretty often. And sometimes it's too expensive, too time-consuming. They don't have the resources to do that internally. So they use tools like the Access widget in order to make sure that they maintain their compliance as well. That's across Asia, Europe. England has specific laws as well, or the United Kingdom. And then, of course, Canada and America is where the lawsuits are.
And are there any states in America that are particularly prone, or is it kind of all the way across the country?
So it is all the way across the country just because of the fact that I will say a majority of the litigation comes from certain states. But as an e-commerce brand, you're not saying that people from California can't shop on your website, right? You're not saying that people from Texas or Florida can't shop on your website. So this litigation can come from anywhere. A majority does come from California. I'm from California. I know I've been waiting for that day that Mercedes just barely taps my bumper and I get the big payday. But, you know, until then, I have to work. But, you know, with that being said, you probably are a bit more prone if you're based in New York, Texas, Florida, California, Colorado. But really, anybody, I've seen it in, you know, central Pittsburgh, right, where manufacturing companies in central Pittsburgh just happen to be sort of who was getting targeted for that week, right? And so, yes, everybody is vulnerable, and we want to make sure that everybody stays protected proactively.
Okay. Well, this is really important, really important technology that you've developed. We're going to add a link to the bottom of this video so that you can get a good deal on accessibility.com. And anyone with a website needs to take this very seriously. And accessibility is what we use, and we think that it's great, and we're recommending it to all of our customers.
Thank you so much, Ari.
Thank you, Landon.
Thank you, too, for taking the time to run through everything Accessibe is doing. And as Ari did mention, we will be including a link to learn more in the show notes. So definitely check that out. Like Ari mentioned, we use it across multiple platforms here at Bridgeline and are a big fan. So thank you, Landon, for taking the time, and Ari for this conversation. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you so much, guys.